Our third case this morning is 2019-1373, the Columbus Bar Association versus Douglas Whitney Bolson, Jr. For the relator, Mr. Wiseman.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court. I'm Randolph Wiseman, representing the Columbus Bar Association, who is the relator in this matter. At council table is John Porter, who is another member of the grievance committee, Mr. Kent Marcus, who is bar counsel, and Tom Zini, who is assistant bar counsel. We're objecting to the board's recommendation that the 18-month suspension of Mr. Bolson be totally stayed, and suggesting that instead there should be the 18-month suspension, but only 12 months of it suspended or stayed until application is made for reinstatement and reinstatement is made.
Counsel, isn't the testimony that he is compliant with treatment? His son-in-law, I guess a paralegal, has helped him organize, and so too is his wife, and he's a diabetic, and that's under control, which was not before. So that there's been significant changes in Mr. Bolson's practice and personal life.
There have been changes, you're correct, Your Honor, in help that he's trying to get within the office. However, we would submit that in terms of his condition, the record does not support that he has made the progress he needs to make before he is capable to return to the competent and ethical practice of law. Dr. Shannon was the psychologist that testified, and upon his testimony, the board, I believe, relied primarily for the result that was obtained. Dr. Shannon testified that he, in fact, is a cockeyed optimist. He was treating Mr. Bolson throughout the time that these events occurred. And as a matter of fact, during questioning by the chair of the panel during the hearing, Dr. Shannon testified that when Mr. Bolson started to get into trouble and deteriorate during the time that he was representing these three individuals, that Dr. Shannon did not recognize that it was happening, even though he was seeing him on a monthly basis and on a continuing basis.
But the other deficiencies in Mr. Bolson's existence at that time, office and personal, have been resolved. Would you agree with that?
As far as the record is at this point, Your Honor, but we have no way of knowing that that will continue.
Well, no, of course not, but that's why the monitor is part of the recommendation for this court to order. But wouldn't that take care of the doubts that you may have about the continuity of this improvement?
It does not, Your Honor, for one very good reason, I believe. Dr. Shannon testified that the psychiatrist that has been treating Mr. Bolson throughout this time has reached the point that he does not know what medication he's going to be able to use to treat Mr. Bolson's condition, and that if that isn't treated by medication, we feel that there is the potential, even with monitoring, that someone will not recognize that he's going into this situation that he went into before and subjecting other clients to the same type of activity. Dr. Shannon testified that the treatment for Mr. Bolson through the latest research of the American Psychiatric Association is that he has to have targeted pharmacotherapy treatment for life. And recognizing that Dr. Mentor is not able to get that under control because Mr. Bolson has a condition where he has a very high metabolism and metabolizes the medication more rapidly than the average person. Dr. Shannon has recommended that Mr. Bolson see a specialist at Ohio State by the name of Dr. Scandinero, who is a specialist in the complicated medical treatment of resistant depression. If he goes to see Dr. Scandinero, the recommendation is that Dr. Scandinero may well provide electric shock therapy magnetic energy therapy to change his brain chemistry, and also to run a DNA test that has been recently approved by the FDA to determine whether or not there is a medication that would work for him. Even if he has gone to see Dr. Scandinero at the recommendation of Dr. Shannon, we have nothing in the record to indicate that he has done so, that he will do so, and even more importantly, if he's going to him and has received the treatment that's recommended or does receive the treatment that's recommended, we still will not know whether or not he is able to be controlled with medication so that he will not revert into the situation that gave rise.
Can't that be monitored by someone that the court would identify?
I believe, Your Honor, that we have two ways to go here. One is we can leave Mr. Balson practicing until he gets all of this treatment that is recommended, and run the potential that he reverts back or during the course of that causes damage to another client or more clients. Or we can, recognizing that his treatment has to be treated by some type of medication which they are unable to identify that will work with him at this time, that to help protect the public and protect his clients, that we...
But none of that says that his current treatment, just the fact that he thinks that the doctor recommends that there may be better ways to treat him doesn't show that his current treatment's ineffective, right?
Well, to some extent it does. Dr. Shannon has been treating him for the same way throughout this time since 2014, including the time that Mr. Balson committed the offenses that bring us here today. And Dr. Shannon further testified that the treatment he's been receiving from Dr. Mentor is ineffective currently because he is not able to provide medication that will take care of Mr. Balson's condition. And
he said he's functioning better than he ever has, and that he thinks he can function at a higher level, but that doesn't mean that his current level of functioning does not allow him to, with monitoring, provide legal services ethically, does it?
Well, he also testified that he's only had modest improvement throughout this entire time, which does not suggest that even with monitoring, the monitor's not, if Dr. Shannon, as his treating psychologist, didn't recognize that it was having a problem, then it's probable that others will not recognize that he's having a problem until it's too late, which is what occurred in this situation. So we would recommend to the court and urge the court to recognize that the record does not support that Mr. Balson is currently capable of returning to the practice of law in a competent, ethical, and professional manner. And we would urge the court to adopt the board's recommendation of an 18-month suspension, but stay only 12 months of it, and to impose the other conditions set forth by the board's recommendation, and then not reinstate Mr. Balson until there's a submission of an opinion from a qualified healthcare professional that he is indeed capable of returning to the practice of law. Thank you.
Mr. Johnson.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, George Johnson for respondent Doug Balson. There is currently in the record testimony that the respondent is able to return to the competent, ethical practice of law. That's from Dr. Shannon. His testimony exactly fulfills the requirements of Section 13C-7 of GovBAR Rule 5, which is the mental disorder. He's testified that he suffered from a diagnosed mental disorder, that the disorder was a substantial cause of the misconduct, that he has undergone a substantial period of treatment for that, and that he is able to return, that he will be able to return to the ethical practice of law if he complies with certain requirements. Those are continued treatment and continued involvement of his wife. What Mr. Weissman said is true. Dr. Shannon didn't recognize that Mr. Bolson was having trouble during the time that they were treating together. But that has now been recognized by both his family and Dr. Shannon. Doug Bolson has the privilege of having a wife who's a retired clinical social worker, and she and Dr. Shannon.
Counsel, did the family recognize that Mr. Bolson was having these episodes of depression, melancholia, he's bipolar, you know, all of the issues?
Yes, Chief Justice. He has suffered from depression his whole adult life.
Right.
So his family knows that he goes through depressive episodes. They didn't realize that it was impacting his work. Dr. Shannon testified that he's passionate about his practice of law, and that passion and his genius-level IQ have enabled him to compensate for this depression over the course of his professional life. So now his wife knows that he had problems at work. He's recognized it. Of course, the panel recognized that he was extremely remorseful. His daughter was involved and is still involved on a weekly basis. His son-in-law is involved. Is still involved on a weekly basis.
Counsel, the monitor proposed is to monitor the IOLTA account.
I know that's true.
Wouldn't it be better to be under 21A6, a disorder-type monitor?
I think a monitor that monitored not only his practice but also his compliance with Dr. Shannon's treatment, Dr. Minton's treatment, and his OLAP contract would certainly be appropriate.
So the entire practice?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
He would be agreeable to that.
Yes, Chief Justice. What Mr. Weissman is suggesting to the court is that you ignore the testimony that he is currently able to practice and keep him from the practice on the fear that he may relapse until someone comes in and testifies to what Dr. Shannon has already testified to, that he is able to return to the practice now. And so the expanded monitor's duties, Chief Justice Fisher, that you've suggested, should certainly remedy the Columbus Bar Association's concerns. If you have no other questions, thank you.
Thank you.
What we're suggesting is not that we ignore that Dr. Shannon has testified that he's capable, but in looking at the entire record and the rest of the testimony of Dr. Shannon, it does not support the conclusion that Dr. Shannon has made. And we would therefore ask the court to impose the 18 months, but stay only 12 months of that. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision.